nice to be here talking about the standards. I think Dr. Stallings laid a nice foundation for what led us up to the actual development of the standards. So it's always fun to kind of get that basic background. The guiding principles really were a very important part of the process. And we actually, our first meeting, we started to kind of dig into how do we develop the standards. Let's kind of start with, you know, fat, sodium, et cetera. And then we had to back up a little bit and say, you know, we do need this set of guiding principles to help guide our discussion and really help us stay focused. So those guiding principles were key. It's, I think, sometimes not the most exciting and glamorous part, but they really, truly are very important to our process. So what I get to do is talk about the actual recommendations and the standards that we came up with. And I think it's important to recognize that we really did turn to the Dietary Guidelines for Americans as our main sort of source of guidance information in our development of the standards. And we really did want to develop standards that promoted the dietary guidelines and most specifically promoted the segment called the foods to encourage. And the foods to encourage in the dietary guidelines are fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and non- and low-fat dairy products. Now, any of you who are familiar with standards for school foods and competitive foods know that oftentimes, while fruits and vegetables and whole grains are encouraged, the standards that are often developed, you can go ahead and answer it. And no, thank you. I forgot about that, sorry. Where was I? That's okay. That's right. Foods to encourage. So fruits, vegetables, whole grains, non-fat, low-fat, and oftentimes what we see in the standards, you know what? If you want to just turn it off, that'd be fine. Just press the red button really hard. Thank you. I usually do silence it or turn it off. Sorry about that. So back again to foods to encourage. A lot of times the standards really just look at sodium, fat, calories, those kinds of things that you think of more as limiting. But what we wanted to do is really push it to the next level, and we really wanted to do the foods to encourage. So by focusing on these items, we basically, in essence, ended up already limiting then the saturated fat, salt, added sugars, and total calories, because if you're going to be promoting fruits, veggies, whole grains, and low-fat and non-fat dairy, you automatically sort of squeeze out a number of the items that also the dietary guidelines recommend limiting. So that was really our driving force. And what we ended up coming up with were two tiers, tier one and tier two foods and beverages. And we organized it this way because we felt that this was the better way to be consistent with the dietary guidelines while still going back to that foods to encourage approach. So the tier one foods are really foods that are to be encouraged, the fruits, the vegetables, whole grains, non-fat and low-fat. And tier two foods and beverages fall slightly short of the tier one criteria, but they still fall within the dietary guidelines recommendations for nutrients like fat, saturated fat, sodium, etc. So just to give you a picture, I'm going to go through the standards in detail, but I think it's important initially to kind of show you what this means. So tier one foods, we just felt that those were foods that were totally fine to be provided in competitive foods arenas, like in the a la carte line, vending machines, school stores, fundraising. Those were foods that would contain at least one serving of fruits, vegetables, whole grain, and related combination products. So in other words, it could be a serving of fruit, or a serving of vegetable, or a serving of whole grain, or it could be a combination item, as long as there was one serving total. So a half a serving of fruit, a half a serving of whole grain, that could be some kind of a granola bar, and not high sugar fruit. It really needed to be fruit that at some point was in its natural state without a lot of things added to it. And it also still had to meet some of the other criteria, like no more than 35% of calories from fat, less than 10% from saturated fat, no trans fat, 35% or less of calories from total sugars, except we did make an exception for yogurt. Yogurt generally is pretty high in naturally occurring sugar as well as added sugar, and there weren't as many products in the marketplace that wouldn't meet our 35% criteria. So we did make an exception for yogurt to allow 30 grams of total sugar per 8-ounce portion as packaged. And there are some products out there that meet that now. We hope that there are going to be more products, but generally yogurts contain close to 50 to 60% of their calories coming from added sugar. So it's almost in the dessert category in some respects, and some people have referred it to that. So we really did want to kind of take a look at particular categories and really see if we could push, hopefully encourage the industry to produce lower sugar items. And then sodium content of 200 milligrams or less. So that's tier one. They basically were allowed to be in elementary, middle, and high school all day throughout the school in whatever venues competitive foods were offered. Entree items, the National School Lunch Program has a nice set of nutrition standards that schools have to comply with in order to get federal reimbursement for the meals that they serve. But then in the cafeteria line, along with that nice lunch that has an entree and a milk and a fruit or a vegetable and those kinds of things, there are a la carte items. And oftentimes also in the school meal, food service operators will allow entree items to be served in addition to their regular school meal. So it can go through the line, and if hamburgers are on the meal that day, they can buy another one if they're hungry, or another slice of pizza, or an entree salad, or an entree chicken sandwich, something like that. So because that then fell into the competitive foods category, we did have to develop a set of recommendations for them. So the recommendations there are that they still meet the fat and sugar limits that I listed before, and that they are National School Lunch Program menu items, and that they have a sodium content of 480 milligrams or less. So beverages, in terms of tier one beverages, pretty basic. Water, low-fat and fat-free milk, 100% fruit juice with portion limits for elementary and middle school as well as high school. Juices are those things that seems to be replacing some of the other beverages in schools, and unfortunately they're also coming in very high amounts, 16, 18, 20, 24-ounce servings, so we really wanted to limit that. The dietary guidelines recommend that juice only be about a quarter to a half of the overall fruit and vegetable intake, so we really felt that we wanted to be consistent and not push excessive amounts of fruit juice. And then caffeine-free, with the exception of trace amounts of naturally occurring caffeine substances. So tier two foods and beverages, these could be allowed in high schools after school. So tier one, all day, every day, elementary, middle, high. Tier two, only in high school after school. So there's a few more options here. They don't need to meet the fruit, vegetable, whole grain requirement, but they do still need to meet the fat, sodium, saturated fat, etc. And then tier two beverages, we did allow diet sodas, non-caffeinated, non-fortified beverages, low calorie, with or without non-nutritive sweeteners, after school in the machines or in other places. Now the standards in detail, I kind of gave you a picture of tier one, tier two, and these standards, some of them are going to be a repeat of what I just said, so I'll go through some of them quickly. But the bottom line is for a la carte or for competitive snacks, no more than 200 calories, fat 35% total and 10% sat fat, sugars 25% calories from added sugar, and I know you saw the 35% before. Our actual committee recommendation is for added sugars. But unfortunately, the food label doesn't allow you to ferret out the added sugar. It just has a total sugar amount on there. So the committee really wanted to encourage FDA as well as food manufacturers and industry to do what they can to start providing that added sugar amount on there, because that's really where the recommendations are. The IOM and the WHO recommendations are for added sugar. So unfortunately, the total sugar is really all we have to work with now. So our interim recommendation is for 35% of calories from total sugar. There is a dairy exception, flavored milk, 22 grams of total sugar, flavored yogurt, 30 grams of total sugar, again, recognizing that there aren't many products in the marketplace that could meet the 35% calories from total sugar requirement yet. Smaller portions are permitted, so for example, if there's a 4 or a 6 ounce yogurt that is common in schools, and we know that there are, then you just limit the sugar accordingly. It wouldn't be still the yogurt 30 gram total sugar for 4 or 6 ounces. It would be less. And then 200 milligrams for sodium. Non-nutritive sweeteners and beverages in high school, after school, there were many tough deliberations we had to make, and this was by far one of the toughest in terms of whether or not you allow artificial sweeteners in beverages and foods, et cetera. We looked at safety, displacement issues, efficacy for weight control. We looked at a number of different factors here and basically concluded that non-nutritive sweeteners in beverages in high school, after school, were appropriate. We didn't feel that the evidence suggested that it was fine to have them in elementary, middle, and high school during the school day. The committee didn't make a recommendation on whether or not they should be used in food products. Caffeine-free, again, the committee looked at the evidence. We just felt strongly that they didn't, caffeine products in large quantities really had no place in the school setting. And that's the bottom line. In terms of, and then the other standards, tier one foods and beverages would be available all day in elementary, middle, and high school. Water would be available and free, and this is kind of important. Unfortunately, it seems like it should be just a no-brainer that there's water fountains and it should be available and the kids should have access to it. Unfortunately, as many of you know, especially in the school setting, that is not the case. The machines are either not plentiful enough, or they're not safe enough, or they're just not in places where students can get to them, and we just felt strongly that we just need to get back to basics. And one of the reasons why we have so many water bottles sold in schools is because kids do not have access to free available water. California's done some nice work in this area, highlighting some of the pitfalls in terms of schools and public schools being able to provide this. So we really would urge schools to ensure that there is water available. Sports drinks, there's been a lot of information out there about sports drinks, and basically sports drinks are for athletes, or for kids that are being vigorously active for about an hour at least in pretty hot, humid conditions. That's the reason why sports drinks are there. And we felt strongly that we wanted to side with the recommendations of major sport and nutrition organizations. And our recommendations for sports drinks are that they are limited to student athletes who are participating in 1 hour or more of vigorous activity via a coach. So they're not going to be available. Our recommendations would be that they wouldn't be available ad lib in vending machines. And I have to, this one just kind of gets me. I have a son in high school, and thank goodness he's not here. He hates when I tell stories about him, but I tell a lot of stories about him. So, and this is going to be one of them. I sometimes work at his school store where they sell T-shirts and sweatshirts and things, and we have an open lunch in Montgomery County, which is just north of here, and so kids can go out and get whatever they want and then come back in, and it's amazing what I see. We have a pretty strong policy in Montgomery County, but whenever you have open lunch, it doesn't matter. So I just love when I see the kids with their big, heavy backpacks walking down the hall with the sports drinks. I think that must be what they think is hard, vigorous activity, is walking down the hall with a heavy backpack right after they've gone to the Giant to get their sports drinks. So, but either way, there's a lot of, you know, there's certainly been a lot of research done on sports drinks, and it all concludes that they are pretty effective for kids who are really active. Unfortunately, those aren't the majority of kids we see walking up and down the halls in high school. And also, food should not be used to reward or to punish for behavior or academic achievement. And again, I'm going to tell another Wesley story, and he will kill me if he knew this, but that's okay. He came home from school a couple weeks ago, and he's so proud of himself because he's taken, I think, pre-calculus maybe, way beyond whatever I can help him with. But he was so proud because he had answered a couple questions correctly on this little quiz that the teacher was doing prior to the next day test, and he was so thrilled that she gave him three different choices of what he could get for answering some of the questions correctly. One of them was he got a pass on homework. Another one was he got 5% added to a quiz or a test, and the other one was he got a big bag of candy of his choice. What do you think he selected? Yeah. As much as I would like to have him selected one of the first two, especially the second one, because I'm like, Wes, you know, you got a borderline C in the class. Maybe you need to think about, you know, the other two options there. But no, he went with the candy and was very happy about it. So I told him I was going to be contacting the teacher. He said he would absolutely kill me if I did that. And we also recommended minimizing marketing of tier two foods and beverages. We didn't want those machines that were promoting the diet sodas to be right there front and center in the high traffic areas. For the after-school setting, again, tier one foods and beverages for elementary and middle school, and then tier one and two for high school. So this would include the after-school programs, the fundraising events. we did not make a recommendation regarding things like if a non-school entity comes into the school and uses a gym and that kind of thing. So we felt strongly we were really focused on the student population, and events where a majority of parents or adults would be attending, we didn't make a recommendation in terms of they can only be one or two, tier one or tier two, but certainly strongly encourage schools to try to be consistent with the dietary guidelines. So what does this look like? What does it mean in terms of what kinds of items will and won't be available? Tier 1 foods and beverages, look how many are on that list, and you'll see as I go to the other end, I hardly have any on there, but anyway, we have individual fruits, apples, pears, fruit cups packed in juice, all different options in terms of fruits and vegetables, as long as there's not a lot of added sugar or certainly sodium to them. Dried or dehydrated fruits, such as raisins, apricots, apples, 100% fruit juice or low-salt vegetable juices, low-fat or low-salt whole grain crackers and chips, whole grain low-sugar cereals, 100% whole grain mini bagels, granola bars, yogurt, chocolate milk, as long as it meets the sugar requirements. So tier two foods and beverages, these are the kinds of things you see in schools a lot now. As more states progressively pass nutrition standards, they mainly do limit the sugar and the sodium and the fat. So this is, these tier two items are going to be your baked chips, your lower sodium pretzels, animal crackers, graham crackers, caffeine-free, non-fortified soft drinks, frozen ice creams that are lower in fat and lower in sugar. These are a lot of the things that we see now. And then items that don't meet the standards, just a few. Potato chips and pretzels, cheese crackers, breakfast or granola bars, ice cream products, cakes, cupcakes, cookies with too much sugar and salt, fortified sports drinks and waters, gum, licorice, candy, all those kinds of things. So that's where we are with the standards, and I'll certainly be glad to answer questions later after Terry gives an overview of next steps. Thank you.